Our first reading today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading comes from Ephesians, beginning in the 4th chapter. "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up the stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Today we're continuing on in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, that bread of life discourse. And before I read it, I just want to mention that in verse 41, the NRSV says that the Jews began to complain. But this is very misleading, because Jesus was Jewish, the disciples were Jewish, the crowds that were following Jesus were mostly Jewish. John, who was writing about it, was Jewish, and the audience he wrote for was Jewish. So John isn't referring here to just Jewish people, but to a particular group of people that stood in opposition to Jesus and who were working in close collaboration with Rome. So some translations replace the Jews with the temple authorities, and that's how I'm going to read it today. It might seem like a tiny nitpicky detail, but those two words, as they're used in John, have been taken out of their original context and used by Christians for generations to fuel anti-Semitism. So it's an important detail. So the gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the temple authorities began to complain about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So every 3 years, the lectionary spends 5 weeks on the Bread of Life discourse in the 6th chapter of John. And every 3 years, pastors scramble to find a sermon series to use instead so they don't have to write 5 sermons on the Bread of Life discourse. Because it can start to feel repetitive week after week. In fact, the lectionary actually does repeat some of the verses. You might notice that you've heard some of these before. But the thing is, this very simple metaphor of the bread of life is used by Jesus to talk about really big, really complicated stuff. Jesus doesn't just say it once and expect people to understand 100%. He keeps saying it. He keeps explaining it and talking about it. And when we read these words in a different time and place and culture, they need even more explanation. Maybe not 5 weeks in a row, but one of the things that we need to remember is that when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," bread meant something to people. For the people following Jesus, bread was their main sustenance. It was a whole meal. It's what got people through the day. So bread was an image that the people following Jesus could really understand. These were people who did not take their daily bread for granted. These were people who knew hunger. And so when Jesus tells them that he is bread, he's telling them that he is what they need. He is what they need to quiet the discontented rumblings inside of them. He is what they need to have the strength to carry on. He is what they need to live. It was a powerful image, made even more powerful by the fact that Jesus had quieted their hungry stomachs just the day before with that miraculous feeding and all those loaves of bread. The crowd was well aware of their hunger, and they knew that Jesus had something to give them. Our lives today are very different from those crowds. Our needs are different. But we are still hungry. Even if we have plenty to eat, we can still feel the emptiness inside that needs to be filled. We can still feel weak and unable to face the struggle ahead. We don't always recognize it, but we are all in need. For some of us, it's a deep pain or a powerful longing. For others, it might be a subtle discontentment that we only notice when we stop long enough to feel it. Whether it feels like exhaustion, despair, fear, or loneliness, or like a never-ending drive to prove ourselves and to achieve something, or like an aching desire for purpose and meaning, for something larger than ourselves. However we experience it, we are all in need. And like the crowd that followed Jesus, we are all trying daily to quiet that grumbling, to fill up that emptiness, calm that ache. We have countless ways of trying to do this. Food, alcohol, shopping, gambling, even working. We try to use anything and everything we can, even the healthiest and most God-given gifts in our lives, we can twist them and make them unhealthy in our attempts to fill up our emptiness, in our efforts to make ourselves whole. Instead of eating to nourish our bodies, we eat to comfort ourselves and ease our hurt. Instead of exercising for our health, we exercise to try and control our bodies and our lives. Instead of working to make the world a better place or provide food and shelter, we work to prove our worth or chase admiration. Instead of shopping to meet our needs, we shop to fill up this longing with more and more stuff. We try everything, and none of it lasts. We are creative. We have so many ways to avoid or cover up our pain, our emptiness. We have so many things we use for self-comfort or numbing, or to try and fill up that void. But none of them last, and we soon find ourselves hungry again. We may not even see it for what it is, but we all have need. We all have a hunger for something more. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The good news is that God cares about and provides for all of our hunger. God provides for our physical hunger, offering us sustenance for our journey. And God wants more for us than just survival. God also provides for that spiritual hunger, that yearning for something more, for meaning, purpose, fulfillment, for connection with something bigger than ourselves. That is what Jesus came to give us, to be for us. God sent Jesus to show us how to have this connection, how to have an intimate relationship with our God. That is what Jesus' teachings and ministry is all about, showing us how to live into this relationship with God that leads to fullness of life, that fills up that deep hunger and that yearning for something more. All those things that Jesus calls his followers to do, feeding people, forgiving one another, caring for the outcast and those in need, all those ways of sharing God's love, all of it is about living in that relationship. For years, the church has treated God's commandments and Jesus' teachings as some sort of rule book. You know, if you follow these rules, you'll be rewarded with life. But that's not it. I've been trying to think of how to explain it, and I was thinking that it's more like dance steps. Like, if you want to experience the joy of dancing, follow these steps. You aren't given a prize at the end, but you have that experience, that joy while you're doing it. I don't know if that's a good explanation. I don't even know how to dance. But that fullness of life, that eternal life that Jesus offers, it's not a reward at the end. The call to forgiveness, the call to care for one another, the welcoming and the feeding and loving one another, these are the dance steps that allow us to dance with God, to live into the fullness of life that God wants for us. Don't get me wrong, Jesus clearly says that this life lasts forever. He even points to the resurrection here and promises that this life will continue beyond death. I will raise them up on the last day. But that is just a continuation of the life, of the fullness of life that Jesus is offering now. the love that we are given, the purpose and the meaning that we are offered, the relationships with one another and with our God that we are invited into, all of it is available to us right here and right now. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Come live in this love that God has for you. Let it feed you. Let it fill you up and strengthen you. And then share it with one another. And let God's love build a life worth living. A life that will not end. Thanks be to God. Amen.